What was the 13 going on 30? 30 flirting and thriving or something like that. That's how I feel today. Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. I'm Carly Duke, and I'm here with Chris Roby.
Hey, guys.
So, Chris, there was a video that recently came out that I wanted to briefly talk about that will launch us into this discussion on mental health. So did you see the video with Lil Wayne?
I did, yeah, with Uncomfortable Conversations with Emmanuel Acho, which we're also reading his book as a team as well. And if you watch the video, it shows kind of this organic nature of this conversation that they had, that Lil Wayne reached out to Emmanuel to talk a little bit more about this. And obviously, as a superstar, it probably took some bravery to talk through this this topic.
Exactly. And so this video, we'll link it, but I wanted to give a content warning. If you know anything about Lil Wayne, this will not surprise you, but the language in the video is not great.
So, it's Lil Wayne, right?
Yeah, exactly. So he does not hold back on his language. So just be prepared for that if you watch it. And we're not going to talk too much about the video, but I did want to talk about some things that came out of this video, which I didn't know. I guess I didn't know much about Lil Wayne and his backstory at all, but he shot himself at the age of 12, coming out of some mental health issues and not even really knowing what was going on, but just that something was wrong. And he felt like he had no one to talk to about it at all. And he said at one point, that's just a conversation he couldn't have with his mom. They didn't talk in that language. He didn't feel like she would accept that conversation at all. And so he took a very drastic measure and he shot himself in the chest. And he said that day at some point he didn't die, but someone else was gone. And he said that was his mom. His mom was never the same again, but in a positive way of after that, he felt like he could talk to his mom. After that, his mom was an advocate for him, but she changed that day and was never the same.
That's incredible. Yeah. So it took the dramatic action of a suicide attempt to be able to change that relationship where that conversation could happen, which is a big reason we're having this conversation today, is that that outcome could have been a whole lot different for him.
Right.
Right. I mean, suicide attempts oftentimes are successful, unfortunately. And so we never want a kid to get to a point where they have to do that for us to have those kind of honest conversations around mental health. That's what we want to talk about today, is just the stigma around mental health, and just more importantly, how are we talking about this? Because we talk about all kinds of other health issues all the time. I listen to podcasts on physical fitness and wellness, and people are talking openly about that. But when it comes to mental health, it's a trickier thing, because I have my theories on why, but it's a mysterious thing to talk through mental health. And it's also very, very personal.
It is. And I just think it's so interesting when you think of Lil Wayne, you think of someone who's successful, who is a tough guy who probably wouldn't want to talk about these things, but he does because he says, if I can help someone else, it's worth it. But he talks about, as a global superstar, he felt so alone.
Wow.
And so that feeling of, if someone like that, who has all the money in the world, all the connections in the world, people around him at all times feel so alone, what are our teenagers feeling like? And so often our teenagers don't even have the language to describe what's going on, but we have to take that seriously. And at one point he said, if someone even has the guts or the bravery to admit that something is going on that they're not sure about, we have to take that very seriously. And so that's something we want to talk about today, of how can you bring it up? What does it look like when students bring it up? Because sometimes they might not even know it's mental health. They might just know something's off. I don't feel right. But if we just dismiss it as something else, or dismiss it as maybe you need more sleep, or let's go find a new activity, or you don't need to hang around that friend, but maybe there's something underlying that is actually going on and we need to help them.
It's really easy as a parent, as a grandparent, as someone who has a teenager close to them, to say, it's not my kid, not my child, that's someone else's problem. And we can have whole conversations about communities that might even be more predisposed to that. And I believe that there are communities that might be more apt to kind of to sweep this under the carpet. And I don't know if you're part of one of those communities as you listen to this, but it absolutely could be your kid and probably is your kid. Mm-hmm. This is a time that is incredibly confusing with information coming in at such a rapid pace and the world being in such upheaval for the adolescent mind to have to handle all that. Our brains aren't really developed for that, that much information and that much incoming bad news. And so mental health is going to suffer because of that. And so I would almost, and not to, for our helpers to be paranoid, but to be very aware that even much more so than whenever you were a kid, mental health is going to be a problem for our teenagers for a while.
I agree. And I'll post a couple of links in our show notes. But one thing is, a lot of times mental health can show up in physical ways as well. It's not only mental. So maybe that comes out in lack of sleep and they can't go to sleep. Maybe that comes out in sensitivity to things around them, sounds, mm-hmm. noises, smells, touching. Maybe they feel like just something, like I said, maybe they can't even voice it, but maybe there's something's
not right.
Something's not right. And so, first of all, I want to talk about how can you bring it up as a helper? And then we'll talk about what happens if they bring it up and how do you respond to mm-hmm. that? Because that is just as likely. But one thing to do is just use your observations. If you notice something is wrong, don't just sit on it and say, I'll just keep watching. Say something. Mm-hmm. Just say, hey, I've noticed you're not sleeping as well. Hey, I noticed you look tired. Hey, I noticed you changed this thing. What's going on? Is something going on?
Absolutely. And I would say if you are outside of the scope of a parent, if you are a coach or a teacher, pastor, mentor, be sure that you are paying attention to these things extra closely, because, you know, a kid who's in your athletics program or is in your classroom, you might assume have other things going on. Maybe they're just being rebellious, or maybe they're just being difficult, or, and we're viewing that through the lens, for a very different lens than maybe a parent would. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times we do address parents in here, but coaches and teachers, you guys are front lines. You guys see and talk to these kids all the time. And so if you notice something different, don't always assume that it's just some kind of rebellion or pushback or laziness. Maybe there's something really going on here. Mm-hmm.
Another thing you can do is use your experience. Mm-hmm. So if you've had the experience with mental health, or if you know a trusted friend or another adult in that teenager's life who has had an experience, use that to say, hey, here's something I've gone through as well. You're not alone.
Yeah. Yeah. And this podcast is about connection. We talk about it all the time. This is a connection idea. The most damaging and scary part of mental health issues is the isolation of it all. When you feel bad about feeling bad and you don't feel like anyone can ever understand, it's just going to get worse. And that's where we want to bring in some kind of empathy for our students, where I think a good number of adults have experienced mental health issues within the last couple of years. And for a parent to tell their child, I've been through this too, and I don't get exactly what you're going through, but I understand the feeling of feeling isolated and not feeling like anyone could ever understand this. Well, I do. Mm-hmm. And how you're not trying to be relatable. You are trying to help them understand they're not alone.
Exactly. Now, if a teenager brings it up and you're an adult and you're sitting there and a teenager says, maybe they straight up say, I'm struggling with my mental health, or maybe they just say, hey, something's off.
Yeah.
The first thing you need to do is listen. Mm-hmm. And as an adult, that means turning your brain off. And not trying to think ahead, not trying to diagnose, not trying to come up with a solution, but just listen. Mm-hmm. Watch their nonverbal cues. Is there something that maybe you can pick up on that they're not even realizing, that they're not even saying? And just really be a good listener. That is the first thing that you need to do.
Yeah. And as a shameless plug for what we do at Teen Life, this is something we talk about a lot when we train our facilitators to mm-hmm. do support groups, to be an active listener, a non-directive kind of listener is a gift to an adolescent. And so when we train facilitators to be on school campuses in groups of students, this is like job number one, right? Like walk in and be a non-judgmental listener. And that will break down more walls than you ever realize with a teenager, because every other adult is telling them what to do and how to think. But to be a non-judgmental listener and an empathetic listener likely will allow that student to talk more than they would otherwise. Mm-hmm.
Now, next, after you've listened, instead of just offering or telling them what they need to do. Maybe start by asking how you can support them.
How can I help?
Exactly. How can I help? Have you thought of something that would be helpful, and how can I support you in that? Would you like to talk to someone else? Mm. Would you like to talk to a counselor?
Is there anyone helping you besides me right now? Yeah.
Exactly. In episode 18, we talked a little bit more about suicide. So if mm-hmm. that's something you're worried about, go listen to episode 18. But ask them how you can help and how you can support them. And then you also need to acknowledge any fear you have. Mm-hmm. So if this is something that, because of experience, past experience, or maybe just this is a topic that you're uncomfortable with, it's okay to acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. It's okay to say, this is not a comfortable conversation for me, but I'm going to grow and move forward because of it. You can't be ruled by that fear, but it's also okay to tell your teenager, this is something I'm not really sure how to handle.
Yeah, there's a lot of power in being around someone who acknowledges their discomfort, but they lean into it anyways. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those places where if you can say, this is new for me, but I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. Let's have this conversation. Wow, that's a lot of power in that.
Yeah, that is. Now, finally, become an advocate. And we just want you to advocate for the mental health of your students. So even if they can't fully explain what's happening, say, hey, let's figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. If that's talking to a professional, if that's going to a doctor, if that's just saying, I believe you, and let's come up with a few small things that we can do this week and see if that helps, mm-hmm. validate their feelings and make sure they know, hey, I'm here to fight for you.
Yeah. And as an advocate, you're able to do for them what they can't do for themselves in the short term. Mm-hmm. So this isn't, no one would advocate for you being the person who sets all their appointments up and gets them out of bed for the long term. But if they're in a bad place, sometimes they do need that help to kind of get back on their feet, and for them to know, I'm not alone. I've got this guy on my side, will help them bounce back a lot quicker.
Hey guys, I just wanted to take a second to talk about an exciting new campaign that Teen Life is running now through September 10th. So as you all know, this has been a difficult year, and especially last year was a difficult school year. And as we are getting ready for a new school year, we are ready to regroup, and Teen Life is ready to relaunch our support groups on campuses after a year where we were having to do a lot of virtual groups.
Yes, nothing beats in person. And totally. We are so excited to be able to step back on campuses and to work with students through some of the issues we've been talking about these last couple of weeks with mental health, with trauma, with all the things that come along with being a teenager during a pandemic. And so we want to talk to you as our audience members, as our loyal podcast listeners, about jumping on as monthly donors to Teen Life. And it doesn't take much. We are soliciting as many $15 and $25 a month donations as we possibly can. And not only that, we're going to give you back something in return.
I'm not going to lie. I am so excited about this t-shirt that we designed specifically for this campaign. You can't get it anywhere else. So now through September 10th, if you go to teenlife.ngo/regroup, you can find out all the information. You can give on that site and jump on, and you can personally sponsor and support a student so that they have someone to connect with on their school campus.
We can't do without you. Help us regroup for this fall.
So for the trend this week, Chris, there is an app that is back.
Another app, Carly?
Another app. Man. There are always more apps, but this is an app that was here, left for because of bullying, because of all these things, and now it's back. And so I think it's worth talking about for our teenagers, and that is an app called Yik Yak.
I remember hearing about this back when I started with Teen Life a long, long time ago, mm-hmm. that there was a lot of anxiety around this. And I always thought that when apps went away, that they would just go away.
They don't.
They would apparently coming back now. Yeah, which, you know, come on back MySpace, right?
I hope not.
Yeah,
I hope
yeah.
MySpace is not
yeah,
a thing
yeah,
anymore.
It's dead in the ground. It ain't never coming back.
But Yik Yak was created in 2013. This is not one, I'll be honest, that I ever really used. And if we're also being honest, I don't like this app. Mm-hmm. Just personally. Like I downloaded it this weekend just to see what it's about. It's weird to me. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. It's just a different. So it's an anonymous location-based messaging app. So you have to be within 5 miles of any location to see things, but everything's anonymous. Like you don't post pictures, you don't post your name, no one knows who you are, you don't know who anyone else is. And the messages are upvoted or downvoted by users. So you see them based on how many, almost like likes, but if they're upvoted, they're more at the top, downvoted, mm-hmm. you'll also see those. It was especially popular originally among colleges, high schools, middle schools, because you could jump in with your school. Mm-hmm. So if I went to a middle school, there was a whole yik yak for that school that I could get on, and people would just talk trash basically about each other because it was anonymous. And so that's why it shut down in 2017. It has new owners now, but it mostly was shut down because it had hate speech and bullying, which obviously is not good, not great.
So many red flags here.
Oh, yeah. You can imagine.
Yeah, anonymous, location-based. Yeah, there's a lot of things that would be spell trouble, especially only within a 5-mile radius of their location. And there's just a lot of sketchy things that can happen.
Right. So according to the Yik Yak website, and I'll post all these links too, but it says Yik Yak is a radically private network connecting you with the people around you. No strings or labels attached.
Red flag, red flag, red flag.
Yes. They do say it's private.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk to you today, not only about the app, but I just wanted to take a look at what these new guardrails are, because they are different. They put in community guardrails is what they call them, for how basically they're going to take, they've said they're going to take a very strong stance against threats and abuse, hate speech, bullying. And so their community guardrails, they say that they have a one strike and you're out policy. There's no report it and then you have to be reported a certain amount of times before you're kicked out. Like they said, if they see it, you're done. Mm-hmm. You get kicked out of the app. I'm sure there's a way to log in under a different username. Mm-hmm. But one thing, you're not allowed to identify people. So yourself or anyone else by name, by location, by making personal attacks. They even say if you're a celebrity, you're not supposed to get on there and talk about that that's who you are. Mm-hmm. That everyone is treated the same, in theory, is the goal. You can't share personal information. They don't even want you to share social media handles, no private information, obviously, email addresses. They say no bullying or harassment, and they don't want promotion or encouragement of self-harm or suicide, no bigotry, hate speech, no sexual content. And then, like I said, if you do any of these, they have a one strike policy and then you're kicked off the app, which in theory sounds great, but it's anonymous.
I think the fact that it's anonymous will bring all these things to bear. Mm-hmm. Because people want to be anonymous for a reason.
And if it's when I got on there, there are people just saying weird stuff and like kind of gross, like borderline gross stuff. Like, but my guess is, and I haven't even looked on to see if this is still where you can view it by high school or middle school, because originally I think you had to have an email address like for a college. Mm-hmm. You had to have an email address that ended in that college's email to get into that group. Like not just anybody could get into that group, but especially when you have a group of people who do all know each other and have the same experiences, there are going to be things that come up that identify people.
Right.
And there probably is going to be bullying. And so that's something to watch out for. They do have mental health resources listed on their website. They have a Stay Safe resources page, which basically tells you here's how to stay safe on the internet. Mm-hmm. So if you want to check those out on yikyak.com, and I'll post those. But this is an app just to be aware of. Ask your teenager about it. Ask if they've heard of it, if they've used it. What does that look like? Because this is one to watch.
Yeah. And again, being aware of the anonymous nature, and of even with those guardrails, there's a lot of ways to get around those guardrails. And so any app that is trying to skirt the rules of human interaction is one I tend to be a bit more skeptical about. But yeah, as a parent, as a helper, be aware.
Yeah, this is definitely one to watch. And so, like I said, I'll post everything on it, but make sure you're having this conversation, because this one has been in the news lately because it's come back. And so it might be one that even if you didn't hear about it in 2013, it might be back.
So Carly, I hear you have a birthday coming up.
Yes, I do.
Or is it today?
I think it's today.
Yeah, as of the release of this podcast. And this is a big one. Are we sharing?
I guess, Chris.
Okay. I feel like if the roles were reversed, I would absolutely have to divulge this information.
Okay. Fine.
Okay.
Today I turned 30.
It's Yay! A big deal. That's a huge deal.
I'm not, it's not as big deal as I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about it. I guess in my mind, 30 always sounded old. Sorry. But I feel like this is a big step for me and I'm excited about it.
30 is the new 20.
It is.
Yeah.
I feel What was the 13 going on 30? Mm-hmm. 30 flirting and thriving or something like that. That's how I feel today.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think when you hit those milestone birthdays, you always reflect on like, is this how I thought I would feel whenever I was like a kid? Like, mm-hmm. like being 30 seems so old. Like I'll be 43 next month. And didn't really feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess that's something to be grateful for, right?
Exactly.
We have our health.
Exactly. So today, in honor of my birthday, we wanted to talk through some birthday party ideas, which sounds weird if you're listening to this, you're like, what? But birthday parties, I feel like, are still just a really cool way to mark time. And especially if you have a teenager, we wanted to give you some ideas that they won't hate. Basically, here are some ideas that they might actually think like, wow, that's a cool idea, Mom. Mm-hmm. So bring these up. Obviously, a classic, a pool party. Mm-hmm. You got to love a pool party.
Yeah. Especially your summertime. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and I guess too, at least in Texas, it is still warm enough to get away with pool party.
You can do it at Christmas if you want to in Texas.
Love that. Uh-huh. Something I've seen is if you want to do a cooking competition, I've seen people do like Chopped, where you give them a basket of random ingredients and they have to make something out of it. I've seen other ones do, what's that on Netflix? It's called Nailed It. Mm-hmm. Where they have to make a like Pinterest dessert and see how well they can do it. Dude Perfect has done this before. Oh, yeah.
I've seen that.
Where they've done cooking competitions. That could be fun. Take them to a hotel party.
Oh, yeah.
A little spa. Why not?
Absolutely.
I love a good themed party, Chris.
You do?
I do. Are you? You're not a fan. Well, I could just tell by your face.
No, it's not that I'm not a fan. I'm just trying to think of the last time I went to a themed party. But it was, I think it was a Ninja Warrior party we put on for our little kids in our backyard, and it was incredible. No one broke their legs either, so it was great.
I love that.
Yeah,
but that could be pancakes and PJs, especially probably for younger girls. Pick a decade, let them pick a decade and they can dress up. That's always fun. Mm-hmm. White parties are really in, or white and black parties are really cool. I went to one of those in high school. Do an outdoor movie night, throw up a screen, gaming party if you have guys, set up a million TVs in your house.
You can never go wrong with that.
And do a gaming tournament. That would be really fun. Murder mystery could be really fun. Do your own escape room. I had a friend in high school that they used to do their own haunted house around Halloween. Something like that would be really fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So just thinking of fun ways to get friends involved. And if you can think of something fun like that, this is a great opportunity to meet the friends of your kids.
Experiences are always really great with when it comes to the older that a student gets. You can have a party with cake, or you could do something that will strengthen your bonds. You know, right. I know me and my kids have done fishing trips, or just, you know, stuff what is it that you and your student like to do together, and to be able to celebrate around that thing.
Right.
Is another great idea as we think through parties.
Right. So whether it's a party or you tell your student, hey, bring one friend along and let's go do an experience somewhere. Let's drive somewhere out of town and do a weekend. Think of something that's a way to connect to your student, but also celebrate their birthday well.
All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.